Okay, we're going to go ahead and start the meeting. It's 9:01 on Tuesday, March 21st. The Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority. So, excuse me.
Which one of these is Matt? I guess this is Matt.
So we call to order on the, did I lose some people? What happened to Roger and?
Roger and Dean.
Yes, they had a powwow.
Yeah.
There they are. Okay, so I don't really have a lot of remarks today. Someone came up to me before the meeting and said, what are we going to do about the legislation and the 1,100-foot ship issues and all those things? And since bills haven't been passed or signed by the governor, we don't know what the rules of the road are, so there's not a lot of reason to have a discussion about it in my comments, other than the fundamental issue, which is that the Port of Houston is open and we are going to be fair to everyone. And at the end of the day, we need to widen and deepen the channel and get all the stakeholders to be on the same page and all that. So that's my comments, and we can have some comments later when we get into some of these other issues. So item C is to approve the minutes.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And we had both sets of meetings. Minutes were approved then, the 8th and the 16th. We have updates on the Community Relations Committee update. You can update?
Do we have a report?
I don't know. Do we?
Okay. Well, we met for the first time last month, and we've reactivated the community relations. We met with the staff, and we've got a lot of really good ideas that we're going to be going forward on. And we're going to get more engaged with the local community and focus on that versus buying tables and going to events. And I think that's a great course of action. And here is my report.
Well, I think you gave the report.
I think I pretty much gave it.
That was a good report.
We're looking forward to getting the community relations committee reactivated, and I think there's a lot of things we can do in the community that will move the port forward and help us along with our mission.
And we have a meeting tomorrow.
Right. Yes.
Great.
I will not be at it. I'll be in Galveston. Cannot make it. They moved it from Thursday to Wednesday, so I can't make it.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no, in court.
You're in court? Well, that's good, I guess, huh? Unless you're like on the other side of it.
No, it's condemnation. They're trying to condemn some of my land.
Uh-oh.
But I want to thank you, Chairman, for getting that committee back. I think that's an important function for the commission to be involved in. So.
No question. I think it's going to be a great committee, and look forward to a lot of interesting projects. Great. Okay. It appears that we don't have any public comment today.
That's correct.
Okay. The next item, I believe we're going to move. Roger, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I'd like to say a couple quick things. I know we just had a good financial statement review and audit committee meeting, but I wanted to give a brief update operationally, some things that are going through the month of April. Our total tonnage for the year is up 9%. And that includes 11% increase in loaded container tonnage, which is a strong start for the year. Overall, our TEUs are up 13% for the year, and in April alone, they were up 15%. So that growth is strong. Steel imports through all the port facilities are up 31%. You know, and the big driver of the container volume growth is that much anticipated surge in export of plastic resin. And it is here, and it's very strong. Just to give you a sense of what that means, the exports of all resins combined year-to-date are up 38%. And in polyethylene exports alone, the volumes are up 62%. Ooh. So there's a lot of momentum across the board in all sectors of our business at our public terminals. And as I said, it's a great start. The only other thing I want to do is I like to recognize those who have served the board for a very long time and have chosen to enter the world of retirement. And today we have a lady here today with us, that Melissa Nixon. Will you please stand up? Melissa joined. Melissa joined the port in 1992 in July as a what we call them then is a CRT operator trainee. They otherwise known today as a logistics associate, checking the trucks in and out, interchanging the trucks in and out. Transferred down here to the executive office in 99 with training and as a training and development assistant. Moved over in risk management and is retiring today after almost 27 years of employment. So, Melissa, thank you for your service, and good luck to you in your retirement endeavors. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Roger. We're going to move some things around on the agenda a bit. We're going to move the under Executive General 1 and 2, we're going to move that until after our executive session. And then we are going to
table.
I'm sorry?
Table 3.
And I'm going to table number 3 because we have some other things working on that we need to move to another meeting. And then we are going to go to, let's go ahead and under F4, we're going to discuss the approve and reaffirm the audit committee charter, internal audit policies effective May 31st. We went through that in the audit committee meeting, and these are sort of technical changes and technical policy changes that we're making. The audit committee agreed with those, so I'll take a motion to
motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're going to also amend the community relations committee charter based on our meeting last week. It's in your book.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're going to amend the travel, meals, and business entertainment authorization expense report policy. And Roger, you want to explain that a little bit?
Eric can explain that a little bit better.
Well, right now, I knew you were going to ask that.
is this the one that I asked you to change?
Yes.
All
yes.
Right, then I will address it then.
Okay. Yeah, well, I could address it if you want.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, where we've had it before was we had concentrated certain kinds of approval authorities in the chairman. And that was done under our previous administration, and I think at your request we decided to simplify the reporting, and so I've now signed on to the duty of approving requests, you know, reviewing and approving certain requests for reimbursement from you and from port commissioners. And then the second piece of it is, again, a few years ago we had requests for travel from commissioners that had to be pre-approved, and that was a change in the past. Now we're going back to the old policy, and commissioners basically would not have to go through that administrative process.
Right, so let me just tell you what my view of this fundamentally is, that if a commissioner needs to go to Austin or is going to go to Washington, D.C. to lobby, they understand the policies and procedures that we have and our policies on travel, on hotels, on you know, meals and all that, and you don't need me to prove in advance in triplicate that you can get that done. I will trust the commissioners to follow the policy as written and as reviewed. At the end of the day, you guys are responsible enough to take care of the policy, and you don't need my approval to do it. So that, to me, one of the things that I found when I first started understanding all the policies was, and I think that Tom used this as an example, called it Mother May Eyes. Right? Mother may I do this? Mother may I do that? Well, we're going to try to get rid of as many mother may I's, because we have a lot of very responsible people here who run a very large business, and they need to be able to have the least amount of paperwork as possible to allow them to do their jobs in the most efficient way. And that's going to be my fundamental premise in how we look at policies and procedures and activities. Because if we didn't trust them, then why do we have them? You know, and I understand there's statutory issues and on contracts and those kinds of things, and we'll continue to follow statutory protocol, but we will try to cut as much silliness out of paperwork and mother may I's and as we possibly can to make sure that our organization is operating as efficiently as possible. So
we actually had a different term than mother may I.
What'd you call it?
best.
Well, I heard that one, and it kind of stuck in my head. But I fundamentally think that an entity like this doesn't need to have all kinds of policies or they need policies to make sure that they are operating in accordance with the rules of the road, but we don't need to have policies that are just duplicative and often condescending to the people that are actually operating them. So that's why we're doing that. Okay.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
With a vote of thanks.
Okay, we're going to appoint the chairman and members of the Community Relations Committee is in your book. Chairman is Commissioner Corgi, and I think the other members are in the book. Is there a motion?
Motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and start with GR Commercial with staff reports. John?
John Mosley.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
Just have one thing to report. Basically, this week, we've got the Journal of Commerce Gulf Shipping Conference here in town. So it's a busy time for us here for the port. We've got about 400 industry stakeholders that are meeting at the Marriott Marquis in downtown. And if you're able to make it down, there's going to be some very interesting conversation regarding transportation in and out of the Houston Ship Channel. Roger is going to be presenting at 5 o'clock tonight. And welcome to the Marriott. If you need some help with that, please let me or anyone here on the team know about that. We have two items from commercial on the agenda today. They're both real estate related, both fairly routine. G2 is the one I'd like to draw your attention to specifically. That is basically extending lease premises for AMS out of New Jersey for an additional 4.77 acres at Barber's Cut. It's this lease expands the area used for a provider of container repair and maintenance services, and it's an important function which helps support our container business. And that's essentially all I have for you today. I can take any questions if you have any.
Commissioners, do you have any questions?
No, motion to approve.
Second. Motion made, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great.
Great,
we approve number one as well as number two, correct?
One and two,
correct.
Yes.
Yes, thank
one
you.
And two.
Thank you.
One and two, all right. Finance, or finance, depending on what school you went to.
Not from Texas, it's finance.
That'd be an A&M.
Oh, well.
Be careful.
Good morning. Good to be with you again. A quick update in addition to our agenda items. This past Thursday, we put on the street our request for proposals, RFP, for the disparity study that we've been working through. We loosely defined the staff has been working, Gilda Ramirez and Yvette Campbell Smith, very diligently, with support from legal, Margot Campbell and Eric, to get a very quality, well thought out scope of work. On the street. That went out last Thursday. It will be out until mid-June, June 19th, about 5 weeks on the street. A number have downloaded the package. A few questions have come in, so it's going well. All of that lined up to come back to the commission in July. July 30, I believe, is the date for the next Port Commission meeting. Important is quality, not necessarily time. So we want to get it right and then bring to you a quality response to that. So that's just an update on that. In the finance division, there are two items. I believe H1 is regarding an award for the Houston Ship Channel financing strategy. So we went out sometime back, had four responses to our request for proposals. Narrowed that down to a couple of firms, and the firm that you see awarded there has extensive experience in such financing strategies. What does that mean? It's to help us in analyzing the capital and the funding strategy associated with our widening and deepening project, as well as supporting us as we look internal at our capital plans and how we're going to continue to fund growth for the Port Authority. They'll also help us understanding rules and regulations with the Corps and other federal statutes, and then ultimately help us go to market with some type of financing arrangement associated with the deepening and widening project. So that's item H1 in your agenda to this morning. The second one being largely administrative, as we talked about in the audit committee this morning, is the award, if you will, or extending the option for executing the option for the Grant Thornton External Auditing Services. This is the fifth and final year for Grant Thornton, after which in 2020 we'll go back out on the street for these external auditing services. The funding for this fiscal audit period is roughly flat to what we had in the past years, up a pinch for some new GASB requirements, some new auditing things they'll do for us. But that's the second item on your agenda for finance this morning. That's all I had. Any questions on either?
You need a motion?
Motion
approved. Two, one and two.
Yes, question first.
Tim, what is the amount? Because I have a blank on that.
Oh, I'm sorry. On the first one, Commissioner.
Number two. 249.
Yes, it would be just under 250. 249.5 for memory. I'm sorry, Commissioner. I didn't realize that was blank.
That was in the commission book. In the briefing book, it was blank.
Very good.
Okay, we have motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
One and two are passed. Then infrastructure, Rich.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. So what we have going on in infrastructure right now is continuation of current projects and planning for the future. And just to give you an illustration, about 100 projects are going on at any one time. These range from the Bayport 7 yard construction that we broke ground earlier this year, and the Wharf 3 rehab that you approved last month. But they also include smaller projects such as design and construction of fender projects, keeping our transit sheds standing when trucks run into the columns, and we're going to make sure they don't fall down. Notably, you might have noticed the construction happening at the entrance ramp at 610. We're collaborating with the TxDOT, have been collaborating with them for about a year and a half to get that project finally started, and that's going to fix some drainage issues so that that ramp will not puddle up and get, you know, knee-deep in some cases during the heavy rain. So we're glad to see that. Then another important project that's going to start construction next month is the Praxair pipeline relocation at Bayport. Getting that out of the way is essential for the build-out of the Bayport master plan. So that's what's going on in infrastructure. Today we've got a number of items, 8 items.
And aren't we pulling a couple?
Yes.
That's pulling item 2, 3, and 5.
Correct.
You want to comment on that, just why we're doing it?
We're pulling those due to we're reevaluating the fee structure that we charge on the pipelines, as well as the length of that structure. Okay. So we will come back when we have done the research.
Okay. Go ahead, Rich.
Item number one is it's really comprises contract extensions with 3 companies that we've been working with to execute our strategic asset management program. Now, in addition to doing current projects and planning for the long-term future, our asset management program is really kind of a mid-range lookout to make sure that our assets are in good condition and they keep standing. The FECAP program stands for Facilities Inspection and Condition Assessment Program, and the port has about $2 billion on the books in terms of assets. The replacement value would be a multiple of that. And that ranges from docks and wharves, 139 different structures on the water, buildings such as this and so forth. And we need to know what shape they're in. So about 3 years ago, we initiated FECAP, and we focused first on the marine structures, make sure that they're going to be standing and they can serve our core business. The FECAP is extending this year beyond marine structures to categories including electrical and utilities and corrosion that looks at the pipes and the steel structures that underlie our docks and wharves and so forth. For this part, today we've got 141 marine structures, and to date we've assessed 43 of those. That work has generated 400 actions, including a couple of emergency actions, but mainly prioritized repair and upgrades. And so this contract is focused on completing that work so that we really understand holistically the entire asset base and we can make prudent decisions in terms of how we allocate capital to repair and maintenance of our marine structures. Item four is a marine construction permit to dredge the submerged lands with the Moda Vopec 99-year lease that was approved earlier this year. It's a very big deal, and we have to enable it to go on, so they require a marine construction permit to do some dredging. I'll take questions.
Commissioners, any questions?
Move to be adopted.
I'll take a motion to adopt the items. All in favor, say.
All of I except those.
Yeah, all of I except the three that we pulled.
That's I 1, I 4, I 6, 7, and 8.
Correct. That's correct.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Before you leave, Rich, I want to say to you and Charlie Jenkins and others, we were briefed recently about the widening of the channel, and we all know how important that is. That's the future of Houston, is widening this channel. And you guys have surprised me. Y'all have done a lot of work. You had a whole lot of important issues for us to look at, and I appreciate the job y'all doing.
Thank you, Commissioner. It's a team effort as well. There's a lot of moving parts and a lot of people working on it. So
now go get the money.
That's what we'll help him with that.
He says that's Tim's job.
It's Tim's job. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right, so next area is going to be in operations.
Good morning.
Thank you.
There are four items in the ops section today for your consideration. All are primarily driven by maintenance. Our maintenance director, Paulo Suarez, does the heavy lifting with these types of procurements each month. Thank you to Paulo. I'd like to highlight J3 in the total amount of $1.75 million. You'll note there are three vendors included in this as we treat this as a divisible contract. Our unique needs in the area of tire requirements create the need for the divisible contract. Port owns hundreds of heavy vehicles that and heavy equipment, vast majority operated by the ILA. And they require tires of various sizes and capacities. We've got some almost 100 RTGs that require 1,600 tires over this two-year period. 300 of the tires are allocated for 70-yard tractors, nearly 800 tires for 196 yard chassis. Those yard tractors and chassis are used to move containers around the container facilities for inspection and transfer type purposes. And over 1,100 tires for our 377 light vehicles and pickup trucks. So that's the end of
tires.
A lot of tires. So these four procurements are just shy of $3 million. I'll entertain any questions if there are any.
Commissioners? Tires.
Roll.
Motion. Can I take them? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, and 4. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Marcus, we're going to let Dave.
Dave
has no items.
No items.
Okay. But he gets to speak anyway. Hey, Dave.
Good morning. As mentioned, the People Division have no items today. However, we wanted to take a moment and re-recognize some of the folks that were recognized at our picnic this past Saturday for some employee awards. We had awards given to employees who donated the most time to volunteer events. And that was Jeanette Estrada for the Turning Basin, Regina Riley for Barber's Cut, and Melissa Perez for Bayport. We also had three recipients of safety awards. Those were Roger Ho, Robert Fitzpatrick, and Hayden Simpson. And we also had a group safety award that was given to the Turning Basin maintenance team. Finally, we also had environmental awards that were given to Jeanette Estrada and Kenneth Williams here in the executive building and to our fire department. And finally, we gave an award to our employee of the year, who's actually on vacation right now and was on vacation. So we're not sure if she knows that she's been named employee of the year just yet, but that was given to Christian Kibbe in our police department. So we just wanted one more time to congratulate those folks, but more importantly, say thank you for all that they do for the Port Authority.
You know, that if I could say that it was a great event. We had it out at Sylvan Beach or whatever. I think employees enjoyed it, but also it was good to see. You know, it's an opportunity for our retirees. We invite our retirees to come out there, and they came out en masse and were able to reconnect and figure out what's going on at the port. So I think that's important for the port family to continue that.
I agree. I think I attended the picnic, and there were, you know, 400 or 500 people there. And I think the thing that's always interesting to me when I go see employees with families and their retirees is just how much pride they have in their organization. And when you see the families, that's to me the thing that's really interesting. You see these little kids running around and teenagers and, you know, college graduates and others. And it just shows that the port is a community, that our employees are about community with their families and coming to support the port at the picnic. And we did go out on the patio and look at a lot of ships going by. And I think there was some Texas chicken going on out there in the channel, which was kind of interesting to watch, and having people you know, talk about what they were doing, kind of going at each other and then turning. But it's one of those things I think that is really important, and I think we need to do more of those kinds of events for our employees. When you get down to it, the people that execute every single day for the Port of Houston are the ones who create value for all of our constituents and for you know, our community. So I encourage you we ought to do more events and more employee recognition. Ultimately, it doesn't cost very much, and it's a massive value proposition for the people. So thanks.
Okay. Marcus, you're up.
Marcus.
Good morning.
Marcus, before you start, I want to talk a little bit about it. I spent about almost 30 minutes with one of your port police, maybe 20 minutes with one of your port police guys when I was leaving, because they let me park in a really kind of cool, like right by the front door, but there was a police right behind me. I thought he was going to like tow me or arrest me or something for parking the wrong place.
I told him it was okay, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I will tell you that that he was very engaged and engaging. I sat in his car. He showed me all the equipment and the systems and we went through uniforms and whether they breathe or not, whether they need tasers or long rifles or, I mean, and I will tell you that I was really impressed with his enthusiasm and a 24-year employee, clearly engaged, and I felt very safe being with him, and I'm glad that he was a great indication of the morale on your team, which I thought was really good.
Yes, sir. And Sergeant Jones plays into part of the first update I'm going to give you. We have Sergeant Avalos here today. He was coming back across the 610 bridge a couple weeks ago around lunchtime and saw a car parked on the side of the bridge and a gentleman obviously in the middle of the bridge. Immediately called for backup. Sergeant Jones responded. In the meanwhile, Sergeant Avalos got out there and was able to talk to the individual and keep him from what we believe is jumping. And he was able to keep him there until Sergeant Jones got there. Together, they were able to tackle him, take him down to the ground, and make sure that he was taken to a medical facility where he could receive the treatment he obviously needed. And if I recall correctly, his parents called a couple hours later, very appreciative. They were getting ready to file a missing persons report. They didn't know where he was, were very concerned about him. So I want to bring Sergeant Avalos in today and just recognize him. And you met Sergeant Jones, the other one out at the picnic this weekend. So thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
The second highlight would be the fire department and the case obviously out in the middle of the bay. Mm-hmm. I know everybody pretty much knows a lot about that. The barges, the damaged barge was successfully towed up to the shipyard, Southwest Shipyard. The capsized barge successfully towed to Barber's Cut, which is known as a harbor of safe refuge. It's in the Turning Basin. I didn't check this morning, but it was in the Turning Basin. They were going to lighter the product out of that by moving it from where it was capsized up into the harbor of safe refuge. It allowed the Coast Guard to reopen the traffic, the Houston Ship Channel, to traffic at a full bell without the slowdowns as you went by to try to reduce the wake. So getting it out of there really, and providing the harbor safe refuge really provided the opportunity to reopen the ship channel to full traffic. The other piece of that puzzle is that Tyler Gavis, our pilot coordinator, has also been looking into the case and has been involved in many interviews with the NTSB and many other entities over the past couple of weeks, full day interviews. So we're keeping an eye on that. Obviously, I'm not going to speculate at this point, but we'll wait until the information's gathered and look at it through the normal lens of the PBIRC for you. I only have one agenda item today. I had more updates than agenda items. It's simply a generator for fire station number one here at the Turning Basin. Every fire station should have a generator, so when the power goes out, they can continue to respond. We don't have one up here. We got a couple bids in the low bid, and our recommendation is National Oil Well Varco portable power at about $53,000. We'd hope to get it in before hurricane season starts, which is 10 days away. I don't think we're going to make that deadline, but we need to get it in as soon as possible.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Next up, there he is.
Charles Thompson.
Chairman, Commissioner, I'm in a unique position. I'm the last person before executive session, and I hold the belt for being the most crisp and exact in the things I present. I'm going to change that today.
Okay. You're taking some risk with that,
then. I have to
go ahead.
Speaking of risk, cybersecurity is about risk mitigation. So we are in the process of applying for port security grants via Homeland Security and FEMA to ensure we're able to take advantage of some of their funding capabilities. And we'll come back to you in September and let you know how we do with that potential port security grant submission. We asked for two, one for some internal things and another for cybersecurity awareness and training. I only have two agenda items, but some history might be useful. A little over 3 years ago, this leadership team made a decision not to buy what we call on-premise hardware and storage. And making that decision for our J.D. Edwards application, we did what I call a cost avoidance. Tim says you're going to spend it eventually, but it's a cost avoidance of $500,000 for CapEx. Once we did a successful upgrade, we put a redundant solution in place in Chicago and Ashburn, Virginia, so that our ERP systems continue to run. The first agenda item is to extend that three-year contract with a cost of not to exceed $1.1 million. If we approve that renewal, Oracle has agreed to give us a zero-cost dollars to, contract to move from the first-generation cloud solution to the second-generation cloud solution. If we wait until they force people to move, it could cost us probably about $100,000 to do. So that's our first item. Our second item is to bring WebEx services for video and audio conferencing. We currently pay AT&T to do that. We're asking for a five-year contract not to exceed $90,000. The benefit to the port is that not paying AT&T for an 866 number saves us $12,000 annually. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's pretty crisp.
I still hold the belt.
Okay, we are going to now go into executive session.
Want to take a break real quick, or just
yeah, we're going to take a break and then go to executive session. Okay.
The authority of Harris County High School not to be in closed meeting is permitted by Texas Open Meetings Act, Government Code, to conduct private consultation with attorneys, including consultation regarding limitations on ships calling Port Authority contained terminals, deliberate regarding real estate, including disposition of Bayport Terminal vicinity properties, economic development negotiations, incentives, employment evaluation, public employees, security-related matters. Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
It is, what time is it?
10:49.
Okay, great. Let me find my agenda. Okay, we moved items, let's see.
F1 and F2.
Where is it?
F1, F2, and executive.
Yeah, we moved items F1. Let me have this. I have too many papers here. Items F1 and F2 to the back of the meeting. We are going to table item number one in terms of discussion. And item number two, which is the review and possible action to rescind the Port Authority funding of a Ship Channel Traffic Management Group. We are going to vote on that. So is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And I believe that is the end of it, right?
That's it.
So I'll take a motion for adjournment, and then we'll immediately.
So moved. Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we're going to then immediately open the pilot committee.